Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. Now, we're excited to let you know that a very generous partner has stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give now will be doubled up to $50,000. But the grant expires at midnight on June 30th, so contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com and have your financial gift matched up to $50,000 or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called When You Feel Like Giving Up.
Minimize the pain and maximize the profit. Minimize the pain of doing the right thing and maximize the profit. Yes, there's pain in getting in shape. Yes, there's pain in getting in spiritual shape. Yes, there's pain in getting your finance under control and getting out of debt. Yes, there's pain in anything that works in life, that matters in life. But you look at the long-term gain. You look at the reward. You minimize the pain. You maximize the profit. Jesus did this in verse 2. He, Jesus, was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Notice he's looking past short term. The joy that would be his afterwards. What is the joy that his afterwards? He knew that his death would cause the salvation of you and me. So he's doing it for our benefit. He's going through pain for somebody else's benefit. That's redemptive pain. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Now he's seated in the place of highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. You got to look past short-term thinking on anything that you want to change in your life to make it through that difficult period when you want to give up and you want to give up on the marriage and you want to give up on the dream and you want to give up on the diet and you want to give up on the job search and you want to give up on adopting a baby and you want to give up on whatever it is. You got to push through that, minimize the pain, and maximize the eventual profit. You might write this down. Play it down and pray it up. Play it down and pray it up. Play down the difficulty. Play down the hard part. Play down the pain and play up the benefit of doing the right thing. And staying with that marriage and going and getting some counseling and working it out. It's always more rewarding to resolve a relationship and repair a relationship than to replace it. Let me give you an example of this. I'll just read this to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about the pain he's gone through in serving the Lord. None of us come close to this. Listen to this. He's talking about being a missionary. He says, you know, I've worked hard. I've been put in jail more often. I've been whipped more times without number. I've faced death again and again. 5 times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. Now, imagine what that would look like on your back if you've been whipped 39 times, times 5. That's how many lashes, scars you'd have on your back. 5 times I was given 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled many weary miles. I've traveled, faced dangers from flooded rivers and from robbers and dangers from my own people as well as the Gentiles. I've faced dangers in the cities, in the desert, and on stormy seas. I've faced dangers from men who claim to be Christians but aren't. I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. I've often been hungry and thirsty and gone many times without food. I've shivered from the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then he goes over, let me just read in the same book, same book, chapter 4. Here is his evaluation of all those problems. In spite of all this, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I'm minimizing the pain and maximizing the profit, the benefit, the reward. It's all a matter of perspective. He says, these light and momentary troubles I've been through. Light and momentary, you would call that life a disaster. If you had gone all, if you'd been thrown in jail as many times as he had, you'd been whipped and beaten and shipwrecked and all, you'd call that a disaster life. He says, now these light and momentary troubles are small potatoes compared to the reward I'm going to get in heaven. So you minimize the difficulty in your life and you maximize the reward for doing the right thing. Eternal life. By the way, how long is eternal? Forever. What's it worth? Priceless. Priceless. Is anything worth giving that up for? And by the way, the good news is once you've got that eternal life, nobody can take it away from you. So what do we do? Well, look at the next verse. Let's read this aloud together slowly. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now circle the phrase, at the proper time. You see, I always want the proper time to be my time. I want the answer now, yesterday, split second. I want God to be a genie to me. But he says, if you sow, you will reap. But this is the law of the harvest. There is always a waiting period between when you plant the seed and when you eat the fruit. You don't plant the seed one day and then get to eat an apple the very next day. There's always a delay, and you go through the seasons of life, and then you get to eat the fruit. Now, if you start planting some good habits in your life, I'm going to plant the habit of a daily quiet time with God, and I spend time with God praying every day for a few minutes and reading the Bible for a few minutes, just being quiet. You plant that seed, you're going to reap a harvest inevitably. If you plant a seed of tithing, you say, I'm going to, first 10% goes back to God. I'm planting that seed. You're going to reap a harvest eventually. If you plant a good seed of being kind to enemies and responding to evil with good and not criticizing back when people criticize you, you're going to reap a harvest eventually. But it doesn't come till you've gone through the seasons. Now, some of you right now are, you're in the summer and the heat's on in your life. And some of you are in the spiritual fall and all the leaves have fallen off and it looks pretty barren. And you may even be, even though it's summer, in the winter of your life right now. And it's cold and it's snowy and it's bleak and dark and there's no fruit on the tree. Hang on. Spring is coming. It will come back. It will come back. You know, in 1981, the second year of Saddleback Church, I went through an entire year of depression. And I was overwhelmed with the responsibilities of this church, and I just thought, I am so incompetent, and there's no way I can handle the responsibilities of this church. And I was depressed for an entire year. And every Saturday, and I couldn't figure out why God was letting me go through this, and I was praying and staying close to Him, but it was just a tough year. And every Saturday before preparing the coming to Sunday services, I would drive down to Laguna Beach and sit on the cliffs and watch the ocean, and I did it for a year. And I learned a truth that year, that the tide goes out, but it always comes back in. The tide goes out, but it always, always comes back in. Now, when the tide is out, the beach looks ugly. There's driftwood and junk and stuff all over. It's just not that very attractive. The tide may be out in your life right now. You're out of work, or you're out of hope, or you're out of money, or the tide's out in your life some way. You're out of energy. Hang on. Hang on. it's going to come back in. Let us not grow weary in doing well, for we shall reap a harvest if we do not give up. You just got to keep on keeping on. And there's one other thing you do that'll help you hold on. Number six is you remember, you think about what Jesus did for me. When you're going through a tough time, remember the tough time Jesus went through and think about what he did on your behalf, the suffering he went through. I think about all that he endured for me, the attacks and the criticism. I think about the abuse and the cruelty he went through for my behalf, the meanness, the torture, the painful death that Jesus went through so I could be forgiven and I could go to heaven. He did it for me. Verse 3 and 4. Think about all he endured when you're trying to endure. Think about all he endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him, so that you don't become weary and give up. After all, you've not given up your lives in your struggle against sin. You know, wait a minute, you're no martyr. You haven't shed any blood. You haven't died. So what's the problem? Let me sum up what I'm trying to teach you today. The problems you're going through, these are a test. It's easy to trust God when things go great. The real test of faith is when life stinks and when you have no emotion and you don't feel close to God. That's when real faith shows up. Will you trust God? Will you do the right thing even though you don't feel like doing it? Will you do the right thing even though it doesn't make sense? Will you endure to the finish line? Will you finish well, or will you stop in the middle of the race and walk over to the sideline? My question for you is this. What have you started that you need to finish? I don't know. What have you started that you need to finish? A year before Paul wrote the book to the Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthians, they had made a commitment to give money to help the church at Jerusalem. A year later, they had made the commitment, but they still hadn't given it. And Paul writes them a letter and he says, you know what, you guys? You need to finish what you start. You made a commitment to give, and now you need to finish what you start. Here's what he says, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 8. Finish what you started a year ago. For you were the first to begin doing something about it, and now you should carry this project through to completion, just as enthusiastically as you began it. Give whatever you can according to what you have. So let me go back and ask you a question again. What commitments have you made that you need to complete? Maybe you made a commitment to finish school and you didn't do it. Maybe you made a commitment to get out of debt and you got tired and you gave up on it. You haven't done it. You haven't been keeping up with it. Maybe you've intended to be baptized and you've never yet been baptized. It's like your next step. Maybe you've been hearing me talk about getting in a small group or starting a small group for months or maybe years, and you're still not in a small group. What do you need to commit to finish that you started? Maybe you started on the Daniel plan in January, and you were doing so good, and now you've kind of let it slide, and you're not being as disciplined, and you're not doing the right things. And you're letting it go, and you're going back to old ways, and you're giving up. What do you need to finish that you started? I really don't know, but whatever it is, God will tell you. He will tell you. So I want us to bow our heads right now, and I want you to talk to God. And I want you to ask God, God, what do I need to complete that I started? Just ask him that. I dare you. Ask God, what do I need to complete that I started? What have I had the intention to do, but I haven't done it yet? What have I had the intention to do, but I haven't done it yet? What have I felt like giving up on? And with your head bowed, I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to encourage you to write down one thing on your outline. To write down, so you won't forget it, because otherwise you're going to forget it, and you won't do it again, even after we've talked about it. What's the one thing I need to complete a commitment that I've made that I haven't been faithful to. Maybe a couple things. Father, you know how easy it is to get discouraged. You know our hearts. You know how easy it is that when times get tough, things get lean, we don't feel the initial emotion of the starting of it. We get discouraged, we get distracted, we get doubtful, we get in despair. I pray, Lord, that today we will take these steps. Now you pray. Pray this with me. In your heart, say, Lord, help me to remember that heaven is watching me. That there's a crowd of witnesses watching my life who've been through it before me. And they made it to the finish line, and I want to make it to the finish line. Help me to eliminate whatever doesn't matter in my life. To let go of the weights that slow me down and the sins that hold me back. I want to run the race you have for me, not other people's race. I want to be what you made me to be. Help me not to care so much about the approval of others. Help me to focus on you, Jesus, not my problems, not my circumstances, not the difficulty. Help me to minimize the pain and maximize the rewards and to look past the cross and see the joy on the other side. Most of all, Jesus, I want to remember what you did for me. I would not be alive without you. I would not be saved without you. I would not be headed for heaven without the pain you went through on my behalf. And I thank you. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, say, Jesus, come into my life right now. I want to follow you and trust you. I want to learn to love you from this day forward. I pray this in your name. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, in a year that has caused millions worldwide to become isolated, dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is more important than ever. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out to as many people as possible with Daily Hope for their lives. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to this ministry. Please go to PastorRick.com today to give your gift so that those in need have access to the hope found in Jesus. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Rick's brand new Daily Hope Silver Scripture Box with 52 Bible verse memorization cards based on the Invisible War series. And remember, any gift you give today will be matched up to $50,000 till the end of this month. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us how God is using this ministry to change lives.
You know, I want to just thank every one of you for your generous support. People all over the world are now listening to Daily Hope because of your financial support. Let me read you a letter from Rhoda, who lives in Papua New Guinea. You even know where that is? It's down toward Australia. Rhoda wrote, "I want to let you know that the Daily Hope has helped change my views toward life.
because you share from the Word of God. She said, I've recommended Daily Hope to all my workmates, and since then, the life of one of my colleagues has changed, and she's always thankful for your sharing. We listen to Daily Hope broadcast every day. So I'm praying for you, Pastor Rick. Well, thank you. Thank you for your note, Rhoda, and thank you for writing all the way from Papua New Guinea, and thank those of you who are supporting this ministry so we can reach people like Rhoda. I'm glad you're living out God's principles in your daily life, Rhoda, and I want to say thanks to all of you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Daily Hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.